Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hour number two. It's a big one. It's Tuesday. That means Tulane Tuesdays will preview their draft stock and how many Green Wave players we might see their names called this week at the NFL draft in Nashville. That's second half of the hour at 9:30. Jacob Wass comes on in for that. We'll also talk a little Tulane baseball as their really nice season continues. But like I said, now we're number one. It's amazing that on NFL draft week that LSU, at least in this state, at least in Southeast Louisiana, has completely stolen headlines away from the Saints for the most part. It's kind of exceptional, but the news coming out of Baton Rouge with Scott Woodward's hire and the Will Wade situation that is really an ongoing one, all those headlines that they continue to grab. Glenn Gilbo of the Gannett, Louisiana and USA Today, he's going to come on in 10 minutes to tell us what he knows about why Will Wade was suspended, why Joe Oliva was let go, and how those might not have been as related as frankly I had thought before. And she's going to give us some clarity on that in about 10 minutes. Now, the NCAA corruption trial, the second one, continues in federal court. And today, one of the bombshells that we found out was one of the witnesses saying that he paid football players from Alabama, North Carolina, Penn State, Michigan, Notre Dame, Northwestern, Pitt, and others. Now, some of you LSU fans, you know what I'm going to say here. If you have been rah-rah, free Will Wade, get off my lawn, I don't care, well, then this segment isn't for you because you don't have any leg to stand on when it comes to possible improprieties going on at some of the schools that you don't like as much, like Alabama. But this has the potential to once again blow the lid off of these illicit recruiting tactics that don't just go on in basketball. And thank goodness we're finally hearing about some of the improprieties with football, not just basketball, because you knew it happened. It's not like this sordid nonsense was limited to college hoops. Some people believe that, oh, college hoops is just dirty, but yeah, college football, you know, we got these coaches, they run their programs, you know, ship shape, squeaky clean. Come on. A lot of people have thought that about Nick Saban for a very long time. Nothing connecting him ever to any of this. Well, now in federal court, you have a witness under oath saying that he paid players who went to Alabama and also some other big programs like Michigan, like Penn State. This is big. This is really big. Now, Scott Woodward today said that he hasn't met with Will Wade, but he does support Will Wade 100%. Until he's no longer the coach. And that's really what Scott Woodward had to say. It's not like he could come in, take that job, and be introduced to a fan base who is so avid in their support of Will Wade through all of this. He can't just go in there and say, well, yeah, I don't agree with you on that. Come on. He doesn't want to lose all of the endearment that he's gained and the excitement that he's gained from LSU. But anybody who thinks the Will Wade situation is over is fooling themselves. He's not going to have to testify in this trial, which saved him and LSU and the basketball program a huge black eye, but this is an ongoing story. And when you're employing a coach and continue to employ a coach that is involved in this, in whatever way that you think he's involved, but he's involved, you're not getting away from it. You're not going to be able to get away from it. I just wish that they would have. I really do. you listen to this program long enough, you know how much I love college basketball. And a big part of my passion around this issue is because of that. It's because of my love for college hoops and how much, and this is the God's honest truth, how much I want LSU to be damn good on the court and how much I want them to be a consistent SEC and national title contender. You know how hard that's going to be with a coach surrounded by this cloud? Not indirectly, but directly. Wade and the program aren't shaking this anytime soon. He still has, and we've talked to Brian Lazar, and I've talked to Mike Scarborough about this, he still has a chance to improve this recruiting class that right now is second to last in the SEC, and one of the worst from the Power 5 programs in the country. It's in the 90s right now, ranked 90th nationally. Part of the reason for that lagging recruiting is because of this cloud that surrounded him. I mean, these recruits are smart kids, and they're being advised by very smart and savvy people from a very young age now. They don't want to go somewhere that might not be able to play in an NCAA tournament. They might not get the national exposure that they could at a program that isn't dealing with this. Will Wade's a hell of a basketball coach. And it looks like he's going to be LSU's basketball coach for a while. And eventually, he stays here long enough, he'll get past this. Might take him a while, he'll get past it. I'm not quite sure that LSU fans realize how long of a process that's going to be. It's not clap your hands, get rid of the athletic director, reinstate Will Wade, and all of a sudden in 2 months we're not talking about this anymore. Nope, we're going to be talking about it for a while. And that federal trial is ongoing. And again, if you're just joining us, the big news today, the bombshell, was that a corruption trial witness said he paid football players from a lot of schools, including Alabama, Michigan, and Penn State, three of the biggest boys, and Notre Dame, four of the biggest boys in college football. But if you are somebody who has been on this free Will Wade bandwagon or has said, I don't care, pay players, pay recruits, cheat as much as you can to win, well, then you can't say diddly squat about what Nick Saban in Alabama might be doing or what Jim Harbaugh in Michigan might be doing or what Brian Kelly in Notre Dame might be doing. That's why I go back to what when I wrote so much about this and why I gave impassioned pleas to the LSU fan base to think about your stance on this. Because you should be able to call out those programs for their improprieties, but frankly, not a lot of people around here are going to be able to do that. And that's unfortunate. Glenn Gilbo is going to come on in next. We'll ask him about the Scott Woodward introduction and also some insights into the Oliva departure and Will Wade situation and how that all played out. Glenn Gilbo next on The Last Lap. And a big day for LSU. Scott Woodward introduced over in Baton Rouge. I wanted to talk to Glenn Gilbo of the Gannett, Louisiana and USA Today about that and about some insights that he may have into Joe Oliva's reassignment and the Will Wade situation. And Glenn comes on in now. Glenn, what's going on? What'd you think of Scott Woodward's first meeting with everybody over there in Baton Rouge? Public meeting, anyways.
Oh, it's a very impressive press conference from a – that wasn't a surprise at all. He's a very impressive guy. It was cool. It was a very interesting press conference. They did it at the journalism school. They've never done that before, and it was packed. And you know, like you said, it's taking headlines away from the Saints draft, which is kind of amazing,
isn't it? I can't remember a time recently, anyways, when the headlines haven't been dominated these weeks leading up to the draft, and certainly of the week of the draft, that the Saints don't just dominate those. But here, LSU is stealing those away. And I'm wondering, Glenn, have you found a single person around the LSU program who is anyway skeptical of this hire? Because I have not even one.
No, this is pretty unanimous, popular with all the LSU fans, and that doesn't happen a lot. You know, it didn't happen in really the last two athletic director hires. People were split, and you know, Oliva was coming off of the lacrosse scandal, so people didn't know how to feel about that. But this is clearly a slam dunk on several levels. You know, he's a hot athletic director. who's hired big-time coaches, and he's from Baton Rouge. So those two things really hit home with the people here.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Do you think maybe the expectations are a little too high? That's the only thing I worry about is, Glenn, I don't know how long you were listening, but if you were, but it seems like if he doesn't turn every single program into a national title contender, some people won't be content. And I feel like maybe the expectations are a little unrealistic.
Yeah, definitely. And fans want everything to happen right now. And, you know, people are saying, oh, he needs to fire this coach or that coach, you know. I mean, really, the only coach who is in any trouble, I believe, is Will Wade. But he is going to look at everything and take his time, and he's going to make the right decisions. And when it's time to make a move and release someone or fire someone and hire someone, he's got a lot of experience at doing that very quickly and efficiently.
And the Will Wade situation is one that he's going to have to deal with, and I don't think he's going to make everybody happy no matter what he decides there as we watch this play out. Now, I've said on the program before, the timing of Oliva's departure right after the reinstatement of Will Wade led me to believe that possibly that had something to do with Oliva stepping back. What do you know about that? What do you know, the insights there of why Oliva was reassigned?
Oliva was reassigned because he was near the end of his contract and he was not going to get it renewed, because gradually people on the board of supervisors, the number that did not like him began to outnumber his allies. The long line of things for years. It was really didn't have anything to do with the Wade situation, I was told by two people at LSU, because they were getting that question a lot. A lot of people just assumed that. You know, USA Today's headline over my story last week did not reflect the story. You know, it said on the heels of Wade's reinstatement. But really, you know, Oliva handled the Wade reinstatement the Wade suspension, even though it was unpopular among LSU fans, he handled that the way he should have handled it, you know, especially for a guy who hired Wade and didn't want to suspend him. He still suspended him because Wade obviously broke his contract by not meeting with them about a potential NCAA violation. So Oliva had to suspend him. And then I think, you know, most people like the fact, you know, the fans like the fact that he reinstated him. Some people at LSU didn't, but they still felt like, you know, for the time being, reinstating him was good.
Talking to Glenn Gilbo here on The Last Lap at LSU Beat Tweet on Twitter, a writer for Louisiana and USA Today Sports. He's covered the Will Wade situation in depth since it began. What about Will Wade? Was the suspension, what do you know, was the suspension because of he was going to be subpoenaed in that federal trial? Was it other reasons, Glenn? What was it?
No, some people have gotten that confused, too. Some fans, you know, the subpoena was in February, and there was no discipline or punishment for Wade when that happened. And he wasn't, you know, you didn't know if he was going to testify. Now it looks like he isn't. Even if he was going to testify, you didn't know what he was going to be asked about. Was he a witness? Was he a target? So that's not why he was suspended. He got suspended, according to LSU's own words, because of the media reports in Yahoo and ESPN, the damning comments he made about a deal and a strong-ass offer and a piece of the pie. That's why that was part of the reason he got suspended. That was the reason he got asked to a meeting. He didn't go to the meeting. Then he got suspended. So he got suspended for two things, the story and then not showing up and deciding not to go to a meeting.
I think looking at this retrospectively, that people around LSU believed that they would have handled it the same way going back if they got a chance to do it all over again?
Yeah. LSU did it exactly the way they should have done it. The person who should have done it differently was Will Wade, because nothing changed from when he was reinstated. If he'd have gone and met with LSU and the NCAA on March 11th, that was that Monday, he would have probably been reinstated. He could have coached the team in the SEC tournament. So he really, you know, blew off his players in that situation. He didn't want to – he was embarrassed by the comments he made, and he didn't want to talk about it to his superiors. Plus, he was doing so well. I mean, he had like one of the greatest seasons LSU ever had. He never thought he'd be suspended. And then a week later, he comes out with this ridiculous statement saying, okay, we've had a week to think about it. Why don't you bring me back? No, you still haven't met with us. So if he had met with him on March 11th, he really helped ruin the end of the season because they could have beat Florida with him coaching, and then they would have been possibly win another game or two in the SEC tournament. Then they're a 2 seed instead of a 3 seed, and he's not playing Michigan State in the Sweet 16 first round. You know, so they could have got to the Elite Eight or even farther. So if anyone would want to do it over again, it would be Wade.
Oh, yeah. I'm with you there. How safe is he, do you think, right now, with now Scott Woodward in place?
Well, I think it's like about 50-50, really. I mean, there's a chance he could remain the coach for some time, and the NCAA might not get around to this for a while. Maybe, you know, there's other schools. Who knows? Maybe he'll last. But the fact that there's a new athletic director is not good news for him. It's good news that he got out of that trial, possibly. But, I think Scott Woodward is going to look at this and make a decision. I don't think he's going to do anything, you know, very soon. But like you said, you know, this is not going away. And what Scott Woodburn is known for is making, you know, once he makes up his mind, he makes quick decisions and either fires people and hires new people. And, you know, there's a good reason to keep Wade in the short term, because for recruiting and to keep as many players as he can and kind of keep the program going. But, you know, there's also a good reason to you can see the positives of starting off fresh too, especially with Scott Woodrow in charge, because he has a much better track history of hiring a new coach than if Oliva was going to hire a new coach. My goodness.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Glenn, always appreciate your work and your insight, man. Thanks for joining us here tonight. Thanks so much.
Okay, thank you.
At LSU Beat Tweet on Twitter, and you can find his work at the Gannett, Louisiana, and USA Today. It's Glenn Gilbo. And, yeah, right now, LSU basketball 13th in the SEC's recruiting rankings, second to last, and 80 to 90 nationally, depending on the publication. We'll step aside for CBS News when we come back. Tulane Tuesdays with Jacob Wass. Text from the 985. Y'all are not going to forget about this Will Wade BS. Y'all talking about when he wins the national championship. No, I won't forget about it. You're absolutely right. I am not going to forget about it. Just because, like I said, he's a hell of a coach, and this isn't a career indictment at all. I've said that from the beginning. He's too young. He's too talented. And he's got a bright future as a head coach in college, or whether he goes into the NBA eventually. I think he'll have a long and illustrious career. I mean, I'm going to forget. Nobody should forget. It's not like everybody forgot about Patino or what Bruce Pearl has done just because he made a Final Four. But from one state school to another school here in New Orleans, Tulane Tuesdays, as we do every week at 9:30. Jacob Wass into the studio. What's going on, Jacob?
What's up? How's it going?
You know, I'm good. I would be better if I just came off a spring break like you guys just did, right?
Well, I hate to say it, but our spring break this year actually fell the same week as Mardi Gras.
Oh.
We just got the remaining days off. We used to get Monday, Tuesday off, and then go back to school, but they just said, it's the rest of the week now.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Okay, so I want to talk draft with you first, because Tulane's got some players that are going to get some looks and probably going to see their names called in this draft this week. Who are those guys, and what can you tell us about him?
Absolutely. Well, the first guy we got to talk about is Donnie Lewis Jr. This guy's getting talked about on all NFL websites, platforms. He's really the talk of the town here at Tulane. And he's a cornerback, 6 foot, standing. He weighs about a buck 80, so he's on the smaller side. But he started in 44 of 46 games through his 4 years at Tulane. This past season, he had 50 tackles and 3 interceptions, led the conference in passes defended, so the guy's an absolute ball hog. Second team all-conference, and he really gained a lot of attention in the East-West Shrine Game, which is one of these annual showcase games in the postseason. And scouts, NFL scouts, really loved him for his versatility, his energy, and right now he's predicted to go somewhere between the 5th and the 7th round, but I think there's also some potential he gets picked on day 2, so it should be interesting to see. He recently met with the Packers, and the Packers right now could use a lot of help in their secondary and also have 10 picks in the draft, so I think they could snag him.
Any interest, do you think, from the Saints? They have a need at cornerback. They always need depth there, and they have those 5th and 6th round picks, a lot of them. Is there any chance you think he might land here in New Orleans?
I would love to see that. I mean, he, like I said, he's a little small, but he does really well against these kind of bigger receivers. And, I mean, Tulane, even though they play in whatever, the American Conference, they played against Oklahoma. They played against Ohio State when they played, was it Ohio State last year?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this year.
No, it was this year when Urban Meyer was... Yeah. Was that his first game back, Tulane, or his last game? Last game out, I forget.
Yeah, no, it was atrocities occurred. But anyways,
right.
He can really match up with some of these better receivers, and so that would be a lot of fun if he was able to stay here and play for the hometown team.
Yeah, now, he's the guy that's highest on these draft boards, but what are some other guys, if we're not going to see their name called on one of these draft days, at least in the UDFA period?
Well, I'm happy you asked, because Tulane is all about the snubs. It's all about the sleepers.
Okay, all right.
And the one guy I really got on my list is Dominique Briggs. He is the unsung hero of the Green Wave. He's 6'3", 300-pound offensive lineman. He joined the team last year as a transfer from Coffeyville Community College.
Now, where's that? Where's Coffeyville?
Oh, I mean, I couldn't even tell
you. I don't know, but that's a great name.
That was my question for you.
Oh, I do not. It could be on our two-minute drill trivia tomorrow when we do that.
But Seth, get this. He was the only player in the whole NCAA that didn't allow one sack or QB hit. One sack or QB hit the whole season. And I don't know why. I don't see him on a lot of mock drafts, but I don't know why someone wouldn't want to snag him up. I mean, he's also known for doing a lot in the community, a lot of service work I was reading about.
Okay.
So, I mean, you bring in a guy like that, you know, good in the locker room, whatnot, it's like, why not give him a try?
Coffeyville is located, this is straight from the trusted site that is Wikipedia, is in Coffeyville, Kansas, founded in 1923, and a member of the Kansas Jayhawk Community College Conference. So there you go, little Coffeyville trivia. Now you know. The more you know.
Yeah.
Anybody else we need to be keeping an eye on?
I mean, I would say that's really, I'd say the primary unrestricted free agent that will probably get snagged up or maybe go day 3. But I mean, I think it's also important to recognize the current Tulane players in the NFL. I mean, last year, in the 2018 draft, two guys got selected in the 6th round, Perry Nickerson, who got drafted to the Jets, and Ade Aruna, who got drafted to the Vikings. And both of these guys were able to see some action in this past season, but were outstanding at the combine. I mean, Perry Nickerson ran a 4.32 for a 40-yard dash, which was tied with Denzel Ward for the fastest out of cornerbacks. Ade Aruna also showed tons of athleticism, so I expect to see them make a big jump this season.
All right, it's Jacob Wasson, studio for Tulane Tuesdays. So that's a little draft talk and some Green Wave players. You might hear their name called. When we come back, let's talk a little Tulane baseball as their nice season continues on their uptown campus. Jacob Wass, Tulane Tuesdays, continues here on The Last Lap. All right, I was learning some things that frankly stunned me during that break. We'll get to that in just a second. Jacob Wass in studio, and Logan now is officially off the hook with something. Again, just a second on that. But talk a little Tulane players in the draft. Tulane baseball continues their nice season. Jacob certainly headed, it looks like, to the postseason and probably regional somewhere, possibly. What'd they do this last week?
So this past week, they split a series with Memphis, which it would have been nice to get both of those games, but I guess they can take one. But right now, they sit at 8-3. They're second in the American Conference. They sit behind ECU, Eastern Carolina University, who they have a huge, huge series with against this weekend. And it's not at home. It's going to be at ECU, but as they sit 2.5 games behind, if they were able to get a sweep, Seth, it would really prove themselves as a contender. So I would say this series, it's all built up to this, just to say the least.
Yeah. When's the last time, and look, I don't mean to put you on the spot here, because I get it. When I was in college, I think I went to like one baseball game during my junior and senior years combined, just because there wasn't a long track record of success at my alma mater, so I get it. But I have been to Tulane's stadium. It's a really nice place to watch a game. A lot of students go out there. Is it tough with everything going on in the city to catch a baseball game?
No, I mean, it's right on campus, so it's pretty convenient. It's more relaxed, and especially when it's a beautiful spring day out, it's a cool thing to do with your friends just before. I don't know, if you're just hanging out on a lazy Friday afternoon and want to go watch the Waves, hit some dingers, score some runs. Yeah, it's a good time.
Yeah, chicks still dig the long ball, they tell me. No, I mean, it's baseball, especially when the weather's this good, because in a couple of months, it's going to be dreadful watching a baseball game that time of night. All right, Logan, come in here. Logan Falgu behind the glass, because we were talking about a little pop culture behind the scenes, and Jacob was saying he's heard of our Game of Thrones podcast, the shameless plug, a podcast has no name for you Game of Thrones fans, at WWL.com right now, radio.com app with me and a bunch of my friends. But is this true, Jacob, or are you just playing around with me? You not only have you not seen Game of Thrones, but there's some other stuff that you haven't seen. Is this right?
All right, so listen. So I was like a five-year-old or whatever. It was like first grade, you know, kindergarten. And like all these kids were really into, like, Pokemon, Yu-Gi-Oh, Harry Potter, whatever, all these, like, this mystical land. And I was just really into baseball. And, like, no one was really into baseball at all, so I tried to fit in. I tried to get my parents to get me some Yu-Gi-Oh cards or whatever. But I learned at a young age that I had to stay true to myself, and I didn't have to give in to any popular phenomenons. And right now, Harry Potter had its nice wave. There was like that whole vampire craze too when I was in middle school. Yeah, Twilight. But now, in the past couple years, I've been getting punished for not, socially punished for not watching Game of Thrones.
Yes, as you should be.
All right, well, what's the alternative? I like to have to take a leave of absence from school, lock myself in my room for a couple weeks so I could catch up on Thrones.
I've been trying to convince Logan of this. Logan, have you done that yet? Okay, is that the truth, or are you just trying to get off the hook again here, live on air? There you go. Okay, so I'm going to go through some pop culture staples. And you guys tell me if you've seen them or not, because my shock and awe may be at an all-time high here. Star Wars.
I maybe like saw it one time at like a sleepover when I was young, but like no, I don't.
None of them.
No, I've never seen any of them. I don't need to see people like wave magic wands or whatever. I guess it's not wands, lightsabers, whatever you want to call them. It's all Disney now too. It's not the same. So
I love it. Okay, what about Harry Potter? No?
No.
I'm not a big... No, I'm with you there. I got forced to watch Harry Potter. So you know what? I'm going to go in your corner here. I am not a Harry Potter fan really at all, other than I was kind of forced by my friends to watch him, and I got peer pressured into it. So I gave into the peer pressure, which you're a stronger man than me, Jacob, because you wouldn't have done that.
What's so... Like, the kid has some wizard powers. I just don't really get what's so captivating about that.
Okay, Lord of the Rings.
Seen the first one, and I think the most recent one.
Okay, there's only three.
Sorry, go ahead.
Then I saw the first one,
and the last one.
Yes, and the last one the most like recent Lord of the Rings like universe movie they did. I think it was
The Hobbit.
Yeah, the Hobbit.
Oh, okay,
series.
Yeah,
I saw the most recent one they did, but I haven't seen.
I already
lot
know
of
your answer, Jacob.
All right, well, I'll just keep it sweet. Absolutely not. And I mean, also, aren't these movies like 4 hours long? Like, how do you have this much time on your hands?
Three. Well, you know, I mean,
you could get the extended director's deluxe cut, which I think is around like 4 hours long. Yeah.
Yes. Now I will say this. Now this is the true test here, Jacob Wass, who's with us here on Tulane Tuesdays. Our buddy Logan got read to filth, and to the dismay of our entire audience, he told us not only has he never even seen Tommy Boy, he had never even heard of Tommy Boy before. I could not believe it. I thought he was pulling an April Fool's joke on me. He was not. Tommy Boy.
I've never heard of it, but that would be a great nickname for like some starred baseball player. Like, and here comes Tommy Boy. Like,
oh wow, this is amazing, Logan. You have still not seen Tommy Boy?
No, I did actually.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I don't think we ever got your report.
No, we didn't. Because I had watched it and came in ready to give it,
Okay,
and
well,
then,
we're going to...
And then you were off, like, all that week.
You know what? In the 10 o'clock hour, you're going to give us your little Tommy Boy recap for somebody who hasn't seen it. All right, on the spot, because we were just thinking about this, and I guess I realize we're a sports show, but we're having fun, too, and this is the pop culture phenomenon that's captivated the world. We're going to play a little game. Logan, do you have... And you can play in this, too, because none of you have seen Game of Thrones. You have seen the NBA, I hope. So we're going to test your knowledge here. We're going to go Game of Thrones... a name in Game of Thrones, the Game of Thrones character, or an NBA player. Do you think that you'll be able to pass this test?
Lay it on me.
All right, first up, Deonte Christmas. Game of Thrones player or NBA player?
That's definitely the starting center on the Orlando Magic.
And Logan?
I'll shadow him on this one. It's an NBA player.
That is an NBA player. That's right. Next.
For the record, it's just I just said that because I was watching the Magic game today, and it was abysmal. It's the worst thing I've ever seen. He's not the starting center.
No, he is not the starting center, but that was good.
Right.
Next up, Fat Lever.
Fat Leather?
That's Lever.
Lever.
L-E-V-E-R.
All right, that's Thrones.
Logan?
That's got to be Thrones.
That is not. That is an NBA player. Yes. Yes. Fat was his nickname that he went by. His first name was actually Lafayette. Jorah Mormont.
The Big Joe? You mean the starting point guard for the Detroit Pistons in 1991? That was surely an NBA player.
Logan?
That's an NBA player.
No, that is not true. He is the disgraced former lord of House Mormont on Game of Thrones. How about Jon Snow?
All right, that's actually one that I knew. I know that.
You know that one.
Yeah,
okay, good. Now, that was the easy one. I wanted to throw a softball in here for you. Podrick Payne.
The Payne. He was known for defending the rim during his time with the Milwaukee Bucks. He was an NBA player in the late 1970s.
That's fantastic. Logan?
NBA player?
No, he is not. He is the squire for Brienne of Tarth, the tall blonde you may have seen in some of the promos or on social media. We're playing a little impromptu game, NBA player or Game of Thrones character, God Shamgod.
Oh, wait, is that NBA? Is it the Shamgod? Wait. Okay, I can't elaborate on it, but that's an NBA player. I know it, no doubt.
Logan?
You've led me astray before, so I have to go with Thrones here.
It is actually
myself.
An NBA player.
Yeah, Final Jeopardy. That was all me. All right.
Dolorous Ed.
The Big D is on Game of Thrones.
Logan.
Game of Thrones?
That is Game of Thrones.
Hey.
That's good. A couple more here. Samwell Tarly.
Samwell Tarly is the cousin of Reggie Jackson and played on the Miami Heat.
Logan?
NBA?
No. Samwell Tarly is the studious, rather plump, lovable Well, hero in Game of Thrones, one of them.
Here's the thing, Seth. If you were just making up names with characters on Thrones, I wouldn't know either way.
I know. I'm trying to educate you. What about Longar Longar?
Longar Longar is the wizard dungeon dragon keeper in the North Shore of Esteban, Game of Thrones.
Is it Logan?
Game of Thrones?
That is... Incorrect. He was an NBA player. Next, Tyrion Lannister.
Tyrion Lannister hails from Lancaster, California, played ball at Mission Viejo, played a little bit at Duke, and was a total bust and terrible NBA player.
Logan?
That's Peter Dinklage's character on
Game of
Thrones.
Oh, you know this one. Okay, we'll end there. That was actually pretty good. And that was a very nice attempt.
All right.
A little impromptu. Yes, those were all real NBA players that we named there.
Right.
So you can go look them up.
Give me an A for effort, because I got to go study for finals after this, so I could use some sort of grade.
That was fantastic. Jacob, always enjoy it, man. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, thank you, guys.
All right. Jacob Wass, Tulane Tuesdays in the book. Logan Falgu behind the glass. The Last Lap continues on WWL. Boy, some of the best radios The impromptu radio. That was fantastic. A little NBA player or Game of Thrones character failed miserably by Jacob and Logan. But it was nice to see them give their best effort. Yeah, I'll give you an E for effort, Logan, all right? We might even do sometime in the next few weeks. We'll do like WNBA player, female Game of Thrones character. That was a lot of fun. A couple of texts to get to at 870-870 from the 985. When will you be at walk-ons in Covington on Saturday? Well, let me just run down our full schedule for you because we have 3 days of wall-to-wall coverage of the Saints and NFL draft starting on Thursday at 4 o'clock. That's when it is appointment radio, our Saints draft preview with voice of the Saints, Zach Streif and Deuce McAllister. And this is when they talk to Sean Payton, Mickey Loomis, a bunch of different coaches, Jeff Ireland, Terry Fontenot. After that, at 6 o'clock, Bobby Hebert, Mike Dettillier, and Christian will join Zach Streif to break down the first round of the NFL draft. Friday, our coverage starts at 4 o'clock, and we'll be on location that day at Desi Vega's Seafood and Prime Steaks in Metairie. We're kicking it off with myself and Steve Court for the first 2 hours, and then Zach, Bobby, Christian, and Mike Dettillier, 6 to midnight. And Deuce McAllister is going to be live out in Nashville. He's going to announce the Saints' first pick, which likely will be that day, unless they trade way up into the first round. Saturday, big draft fest Saturday. Same spot we were last year, Walk-On's Bistro and Bar in Covington from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. First 2 hours. Yeah, myself and Steve Court from 9 to 11 a.m. And then at 11, it is that same crew, Zach, Deuce, Mike, Bobby, all there until 6 p.m. That should be a fantastic time for everybody and really appointment radio for you right here at WWL. Text from the 504, Jon Snow knows nothing. Well, it may still be true. Certainly didn't know timing this last episode. Text from the 504, what do you mean you're not a Harry Potter fan? Yeah, I was a little too old when those books and everything came out. I was slightly out of the demo. I was a freshman in college when the first Lord of the Rings movie came out. So Harry Potter followed that. I was slightly too old for that. Not that I kind of enjoyed them. It's just not all my jam. Like I got too much going on. Like I embrace my nerd side, but there's only so far my nerd side goes. Text from the 504. Shame, shame, shame to Logan and Jacob. That's a reference that you'll finally get when you start watching the show, Logan. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, one more hour of the show, we'll break down some of the NBA playoffs. Kurt Heelan, lead NBA writer for NBC Sports and ProBasketballTalk.com, joins us. We'll have Scott Woodward's interview on Sports Talk from today. You're going to hear that. Christian sat down with him. And a very surprising trade in the NFL today. And why one team seemed to have panicked in a big way. One more hour of the program.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend, or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe? Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.